Today's programming is supported by members of Minnesota Public Radio's Leadership Circle.
Good morning and welcome to Mid-Morning. I'm Melanie Summer, filling in today for Catherine Lanfer. Catherine will be back tomorrow. The profile of learning, Minnesota's new graduation standards, are still causing some problems for students, teachers, and parents around the state. So much so that the state's teachers union, Education Minnesota, and Education Commissioner Christine Jacks have called for a 2-year delay in requiring students to pass the standards in order to graduate. The complaints are the same as they have been, that the profile is too complicated, too time-consuming, and requires too much paperwork. And those are just coming from some of the supporters. As part of our series this week called Guinea Pig Kids, we're taking a closer look at whether the profile of learning is ready for full implementation or whether it still needs some major work. And we've asked Commissioner Jacks to join us this morning and talk about it. Good morning, Commissioner Jacks.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
Well, let's clarify what exactly you would like to see happen with the profile of learning. There's been the term moratorium bandied about, as that's what Education Minnesota is calling for, a 2-year moratorium on the profile. And your request is similar but has some differences. Could you please explain what exactly you'd like to see happen?
Well, actually, we agree with Education Minnesota in what we want to accomplish, and that is a delay on it being high stakes. We don't want what some people think of as a moratorium. We don't want people to stop doing it. School districts, teachers, students are still to go forward and do the profile of learning and complete the standards. We just think there are enough problems out there, enough confusion, that we don't think it should come between a student and that student's diploma. We still think the students should be working on the 24 content standards and should complete them in order to graduate. But if something happens where that's not the case, maybe a student moved from one district to another, maybe from an alternative school into a regular district, maybe I'm taking some PSEO, post-secondary options courses, or advanced placement courses. Maybe the school embedded standards in a particular course, the student didn't complete it, and there isn't appropriate remediation available. Those are the situations that we think a student shouldn't be punished for.
So when you say high stakes, what you're saying is that this year's 10th graders, if this were to proceed along the course that it's outlined right now, a 10th grader this year would have to pass the 24 of the 48 standards in order to graduate. And you're saying they should still work towards those standards, but not...
Let's not have it come between them and their diploma.
Right.
Maybe this year's 8th graders. Let's give it a couple more years. And that's what I heard, not just from teachers, but from parents, students, administrators as well, that they're moving forward. They're doing the best they can. They support the concept. They support the idea of even going forward. But they feel that there are enough things that they don't have completely worked out. Frankly, some teachers said to me, you know, I was told this was going to go away. I thought it was going to go away. I waited till the last minute. Now I'm scrambling. I'm going to do it. I am going to do it. But right now, I don't know if I'm giving my students everything they need. And boy, I don't think it should be my student who's punished.
Mm-hmm. And so basically what you need to do is get approval from the legislature to have this 2-year delay take place. Is that correct?
That's right, because that's in statute.
Mm-hmm. And I remember just about a year ago, you and I were talking about virtually the same subject, about the profile of learning and about some of the difficulties that students and school districts were having implementing it. Has anything changed in the last year?
I think so. I think we've made improvement. The teachers are still concerned, as you saw in the Education Minnesota survey. They're still concerned with implementation problems, and it's still some of the same problems. But I hear more and more about teachers who are still moving forward and who now support it, who now understand what the content standards are. When they look at the content standards, they say, yes, this is something that I support. I think that some of the movement toward a more positive implementation is that teachers now realize that they can use their own curriculum. They can take their own curriculum, embed the standards, make sure that there's assessment going on, but they don't have to use state performance packages. That was a big relief to teachers. But now they're saying, okay, we get it. We get that we can use our own curriculum. We may or may not have to make changes, but now we don't have time. And we need a little bit more time to do this. And teachers will say to me, you know what, I could throw together a performance package to make sure the student made the content standard. I can put one on top of my current curriculum, but I'm not doing the best teaching I could do, and I'm not meeting the total needs of the student. And that's another reason that we think that a delay of high stakes is warranted.
We should probably go back and just give another quick description of what exactly the profile of learning is and how it's different than the way students' performance was measured in the past.
Well, student performance was measured in the past the way a teacher wanted to measure it, and that varied a great deal. It varied based on how that teacher was trained, how the district operated. There was a lot of professional discretion, which is important to keep. There still is professional discretion. But there were teachers who would lecture and then just give a test. The paradigm was a little bit more of using the teacher's voice, and we all know, we've all either done it or have seen our children do it. Memorize at the last minute, take a test, and maybe forget the information in a few weeks. Well, a lot of us also did get a great education, but society is moving forward in a different way. Kids are going to have more careers in their lives than we have had. They're going to have to work in a global economy, and they're going to have to apply knowledge because knowledge is going to change. The half-life of knowledge is decreasing. So what's important is not just that they memorize information that they may or may not retain, but they learn how to apply that knowledge. And the profile has students applying the knowledge, demonstrating that they know it. It's an accountability piece on the educational system as well, because it's not enough that you just sit in that classroom. It's not enough that you just complete the assignments. You have to demonstrate that you've actually learned something and know how to apply that learning.
I've heard the phrase, show what you know, as a kind of a catchphrase for describing how the profile is meant to work.
I think one of the best examples is driver's education. That is kind of performance package at its best. We know that students need to learn and go to lectures, maybe read, and take a test in order to get a permit. But I don't know that there's any of us who would want students to be just turned over with a set of keys alone in a car and told that they can just go forth without having behind-the-wheel training, without that kind of practicing, and without somebody assessing them along the way, not just at the very end. I have a child who's going through that right now, and I'm sitting in the seat right next to her. I'm assessing her, I'm coaching her, I'm helping her along the way. It's not, here are the car keys, go do it, and then in 6 months I'll see how you're doing. And mm-hmm. I think that's the best way to show how the performance packages and how the profile is as an instructional tool.
And the performance package could be sort of described as sort of a lesson plan. Is that the best way to describe exactly what that, you know,
yeah, with means? With assessment woven in. Mm-hmm. It's not, a lot of teachers will do curriculum and then an evaluation tool. They'll deliver a curriculum and then have a test or have a project, where a performance package has assessment woven in, very similar to sitting next to your child while your child is driving. It's very active with the student, making sure the student is grasping things along the way. And it's also very individual. Instead of teaching to the class, it's teaching to each individual student. That's the other reason we think that teachers do need some more time, not that they need to slow down. We don't want them to slow down. We just want them to be able to keep moving forward and know that they're supported in that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that by saying we should have this two-year delay, you're sending the signal to school districts and teachers that they don't need to work so hard on implementing this because it's being pushed back? I mean, does it send the wrong signal about where you'd like this to go eventually?
Well, I think there's a danger of that, and I think some people have jumped on that. Some of the people who have been working very hard are saying, are you telling others that they don't have to work as hard? Are we going backwards now? We've done so much. But no, that's not the case. We don't want a delay in implementation. We want a delay in when it becomes high stakes for students. We don't want anyone to slow down. We just want to make sure that until we have everything perfected, that we're not holding the student responsible. So I don't want any district to think, no, this means we can relax, nor do I think that that would happen. Teachers have always cared about what happens in the classroom, and administrators have always cared. I think that the current 12th graders and 11th graders are getting a great education, and many of them, most of them, are taking the profile. The content standards are already embedded. This is about improving and continuing to improve for the future and continuing to be ready so that we have our edge in the global economy and that Minnesota students can take the lead in the United States. So 12th graders and 11th graders are getting a great education. 10th graders and 9th graders can as well without having the profile come between them and their diploma.
We are talking this morning with the Commissioner of Children, Families, and Learning in Minnesota, Christine Jacks, about the profile of learning and about whether or not there should be a delay in when students need to complete the profile in order to graduate. Currently, as it's scheduled right now, this year's 10th graders would be required to meet all of the standards in order to get their diploma. She is suggesting that that be put off for another couple of years until the bugs can be worked out in the profile. We're interested in knowing what you think. Do you think that the profile should be put off for a couple of years? Should the state wait before denying a student a diploma because they didn't meet the requirements? Or do you think the standard should be enforced starting this year? We hope that you will join our conversation by calling us at 651-227-6000 if you're in the Twin Cities, 651-227-6000. Anywhere else you're listening, call us at 1-800-242-2828, 1-800-242-2828. We're interested in knowing what you have to say about the profile and whether or not you and your students in your family are approving of what's going on in your school, or whether you have concerns or questions about it. Commissioner Jacks, I am wondering about the mood in the legislature for this, because again, a year ago you asked for pretty much the same thing, 2 years or some extra time to work out the kinks in the system, and nothing happened because of the broader debate over whether to scrap the whole thing altogether. What do you think is going to happen this year? I mean, you could be put in the same pickle as you were last year, basically.
I think there's more of a mood to make the improvements. I think that we've collected more data. I have traveled all over the state, as has the Lieutenant Governor. In addition, I have staff who have made an effort to meet with administrators and teachers in every single district before the session started in order to get information as to what's working and what's not working. In addition, we have software now available to every single district to support the teachers and get rid of some of the paperwork for them, actually get rid of a bulk of the paperwork for them. We also have been working closely with Achieve, which is an outside organization. They're going to look at our standards to make sure that those standards are as rigorous and as clear as we say they are. So I think that we have made some improvements and we've gathered enough knowledge that we can go to the legislature and be very clear, here's what needs to be changed. There's more consensus in the educational community about what we need to change. For instance, around the exemplars and how students have to be graded, I find very little disagreement or argument that students in ninth grade should be compared to ninth grade students. Right now, the rule specifies that a 9th, 10th, 11th grade student has to be compared to the 12th grade level. Many people think that's unfair. I think that's something the legislature could work on.
And there obviously are elements to this that the legislature has control over and elements that you have control over. And I wonder about what makes sense in terms of that division of responsibility and whether you would like to see your department able to make some of those decisions on your own instead of having to have legislative approval for some of them.
Yes, I think that brings up a great point. Right now I have the current authority to grant waivers, and I've granted two waivers already to two different districts. We have others that I'm looking at right now. I can do that, but otherwise there isn't anything I could do other than go into the rule and delete certain sections, which we're considering whether we want to do that. But if the legislature didn't want to change state law but instead wanted some of the rules changed, they could just give me rulemaking authority. I need an explicit approval from the legislature, and then I could go in and work with educators and work with the community to change those things that need to be changed. Given that the department is the one who created the rule, I think that that's appropriate for us to go in and clean up what we think needs to be cleaned up.
Okay. We have callers waiting to join our conversation. First, we hear from Chris in Minneapolis. Good morning, Chris.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I disagree with the moratorium. I, as a product of a high school that I got out of through social promotion, so to speak, I felt like I did not really meet the standards that were set at that time.
Well, I think that is an important point that Chris raises. Social promotion is one of the bigger problems that we face in the educational community. Interestingly enough, one of the reasons that I want to delay on it being high stakes is because of all the social promotion that we've had for so many years. Hmm. That's one of the things that high school teachers are facing right now. They have students in this current 10th grade that they have to get ready for the high stakes profile, who are reading at the second grade level, the fourth grade level, the seventh grade level, the ninth grade level, the 12th grade level. The range is just huge because of all the social promotion that we've done. And I think that that's one of the other reasons we need a little bit of relief right now. But Chris is right. Social promotion has to go away. And once we have it this as high stakes, whether it's in this year's current 10th graders or whether we wait and delay it, we are going to see an improvement as to what the diploma in Minnesota means and the quality that it indicates.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next, we hear from Julie in Burnsville. Good morning, Julie.
Hi. My concern about the profile is for children who are on an honors track or might be able to take advantage of some post-secondary opportunities while they're still in high school, my concern is that the profile gets in the way of that. And for a child who's tracking well, I think that's a real issue. And personally, I really hope that there is a moratorium put on this so that, as you said earlier, those opportunities can still be explored while they're in high school, and the profile won't prevent them from graduating. And then that will give you some time to work this out for those students in the state who are tracking at that level.
Yeah, that is one of the key problems that we heard. Students who are on an honors track, whether it was the IB, International Baccalaureate Program, AP, which is advanced placement, or whether it was students who are doing PSEO, which is the post-secondary options. In PSEO, that brings a problem because those are students who are going to a secondary institution, not their school. They're not bringing tuition dollars, so they don't have a lot of leverage to get the schools to change. And just because something's in a college doesn't mean it is more rigorous than it is in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have some fabulous high school teachers, and we just can't say because somebody's walking down the street to a college that they are getting a better education. So we have to look at how we can make sure that we've got the secondary institutions more involved so students can have that opportunity but not lose the ability to get the profile met. So that's part of what we're looking at. Right now, districts tell me that they can meet the needs of advanced placement students and they can meet the needs of students who are on an honors track, but that they haven't placed the standards in as many courses as they need to be placed in order to do that. We have the same thing when it comes to students who are being forced to take an art class instead of a choir class, for instance, even though maybe the same standard in that district could be met in both classes. Somebody who's taken choir for years and years and years suddenly can't do that and has to do something else. Well, that can be solved, but we need a little bit more time to have to find out the best way to solve that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's hear next from Patrick in St. Paul. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
I just have a couple comments to make about the profile as it relates to art training. My son is an eighth grade at Highland Park Junior High School in St. Paul, and his teacher was telling us that the standard for art would be just great if she were teaching students in Wisconsin, where they actually have a substantial amount of art training there. But in St. Paul, with one teacher who has maybe 150 students, it's really not realistic to expect them to do the kinds of things that they have in that profile requirement.
Well, I haven't heard that directly, but I've heard some similar things to that it is not just a high standard for the students, but it is a high standard for the teachers as well. And some teachers have told me that they don't feel fully, that they've been fully supported by the teacher college, by their training to deliver some of what they need to deliver. And districts have said that they are concerned that they won't be able to get in some of the content knowledge in some of the teachers that they need to have for the profile, especially when there's a labor shortage. What's happening is that in various districts across the state, with the shortage of teachers, we have teachers who are not teaching in their content area. They have a variance or a waiver in order to teach in another content area at a time when we're raising the bar and making more knowledge necessary in order to teach. So we have made it a little bit more difficult, and it's going to be hard for districts to raise that standard with the teachers who want to do that but don't necessarily feel that they have all the tools.
Isn't that one of the main points that the poll that Education Minnesota did last week of its members, which said many of the respondents felt they needed more training? I wasn't clear on if that meant more training in how to implement the standards or more training in the content areas that they teach in, as you just described. But that seems to be a big issue for teachers, and you've kind of alluded to it. What is there anything in the works right now that is going to happen, or are you thinking about how to make that training more accessible and more widespread?
Well, we're trying to make sure that we offer training and we have people who can go out from the department to help and to coach teachers if they need help with the profile. We're also trying to make sure that we set up, and we have set up, best practice networks, teachers who can help and coach each other in the content area so that they have more knowledge, teachers teaching teachers, teachers helping teachers. We also have a repository on the web, and we're beefing that up all of the time to make sure that teachers have a place to go to actually get some materials and some curriculum performance packages, tools that can help them. But when I hear teachers say that they need more training, I think it's probably in both of those areas, content and the delivery of the profile. But, the money was put on the formula for districts to have that kind of control. And so the position of the governor is that he puts money on the formula and wants the superintendent and the school boards to decide how that should be spent. And in some districts, they did spend it on much more training than was spent in other districts.
Mm-hmm. And so the expectation is that they'll still use that money that they're already getting from the school aid formula to do that?
Well, that's the expectation, but those are some very hard choices for districts, for administrators in districts. I've been to some districts where the profile is working just slick, everything's going great, and then I find out, well, the teachers had some paid days during the summer in order to do it. And then, you know, districts still have the freedom to do what they want to do. You know, as I'm saying, I want to delay in law for when students have, when this is going to be high stakes. I have to point out that Red Wing, for instance, has it high stakes for this year's 11th grade.
Hmm.
So there are some districts who are moving ahead and moving ahead very well and have this totally under control or relatively well under control.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next, we'll hear from Paul in Edina. Good morning, Paul.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My question has to do with the profiles in the science curriculum in high schools. The Nobel laureate who directs the Fermi Lab has been saying for a number of years now that our science curriculum in high schools is backwards, that physics needs to be taught first, biology last. And in talking to the curriculum person at our schools, I discovered that the schools don't feel they have the flexibility to do that because of the profiles, and that when you have rules like this, it takes away some of the flexibility to deal with issues like this and with changing perceptions and knowledge in education.
Well, that's interesting. That is true that students in high school were not getting enough science, and now they are. They are getting more science than ever before, and many experts have been pointing this out, and we're hearing all the time what a great job we are doing. And with the profile, we're one of the best states in what we offer our students in science. As for the placement of the standards, the districts do have control as to where they place the standards. So if they want to have in ninth grade what other districts have in 11th grade, they are free to do that. One of the things that the profile has done in our state is cause districts to look at scope and sequence, look at where classes are offered. And many districts have found that they didn't previously really have the dialogue that they needed to have about that kind of placement, that classes were just put in particular grades based on what would work and based on how many other courses were being offered. And now teachers are finding out from each other what the best order is, and some of the best things I'm hearing from teachers is how much they're realizing they need each other because they're dialoguing more because of the profile learning.
Mm-hmm. I've heard this particularly as it relates to math. There are some school districts who are using integrated math where it sort of combines algebra, geometry, trigonometry, everything, all sort of in one approach to math as opposed to separating those out over the years. Are you saying that something similar could be done with science as well, or are districts doing that?
Well, yes, theoretically, districts could do that, and I have to say, you know, I haven't liked your program's name of guinea pigs of students, but at the same time, I have three daughters in public schools, and they're in the Moundsview School District, and Moundsview a few years ago changed to the integrated math, and, you know, I'm one of those parents who is thinking, you know, I hope this is going to work. The kids are enjoying it more than they enjoyed math, but they find it really, really easy, and I don't know what that means. Do they find it easy because it's being taught right and because it's being taught in the right order, or do they find it easy because they're missing pieces of information? Well, I keep doing the research, talking to math experts, talking to colleges, and everyone says, no, this is great. It's a good thing to do. And so I applaud Moundsview moving forward on that, but that is part of local control, how they want to deliver their curriculum.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll hear next from Rick in Brooklyn Park. Good morning, Rick.
Hi.
Hi.
I have both a junior and a sophomore in high school, and I overheard an interesting conversation with the sophomore and a bunch of his buddies the other night. They're talking about high school classes and this and that, and they're not even taking classes that they're interested in anymore. They're taking classes based upon how many grad standards are offered in this class. That really does not make a whole lot of sense to me.
Are you afraid that they're taking easy classes to do this, or
not
simply
necessarily easy classes, but classes based upon the number of grad standards that they can achieve by taking that class?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you say like a metal shop, for instance, will offer one grad standard, which is what he would have preferred to have been in, but there's an aviation class that offers three grad standards that he has no interest in. He takes aviation just in order to achieve his standards.
Hmm.
What we've done here is we've not phased this in properly, is my opinion.
Well, I think that that is part of our concern as to how it's been phased in and how it's been phased in different districts. But I don't know that this is different than how it used to be. Parents need to be involved. I know that when my daughters are going through their classes and talking about what ones they want to take and where they want to have standards, I want them to have a lot of freedom. But, boy, when it comes to their education as their minors, I put my foot down and I say, no, I don't care if you can get this graduation standard in this class. You say you want to go to a four-year college, you need to have more biology, or you need to make sure that you take this kind of class. Yes, I know you can get literature and TV production, and I know you want to be an actress, but you also want to go to a four-year college. Don't you think you need to have literature in a more formal Shakespearean sense? Those are the kinds of dialogues that parents need to have with their children.
Do that sort of thing happen? Does that sort of thing happen anyway? You still need a certain number of credits anyway to graduate under the old system. I'm sure that same sort of thing happened under the old system as well. If you have a numerical goal that you have to meet, you know, there are certain classes you can do to fulfill that no matter what.
I don't think this is a new problem. I think it might be a little bit harder problem because now we have more science and we have more math. And that's going to take away some choice. That might mean that you can only take 4 years of Spanish instead of 5 years of Spanish, or that you need to take a Spanish class during the summer. Two of my daughters are taking physical education as an independent study. They've chosen to do that because it's because of Spanish. They want to be able to take more Spanish, so they're going to do physical education independent study. That was a hard choice. They're not thrilled about doing it. They're not thrilled about probably spending some of their summer doing it, but that's the hard choice they made in order to get the Spanish. But we have to have more science and math. We need a liberal arts education for our students. We need to make sure everyone has the opportunity for their future goals.
All right. We are talking this morning with the Commissioner of Children, Families, and Learning in Minnesota, Christine Jacks, about the profile of learning and about her proposal to delay for 2 years the requirement that students must meet all of the profile standards before graduating from high school. She proposed that and will ask the legislature to approve that in order to provide some more time to fine-tune the profile of learning. We are interested in hearing what you think. If you're listening to our conversation and would like to join in from the Twin Cities area, call us at 651-227-6000. Anywhere else you're listening, you can call 1-800-242-2828. 1-800-242-2828. You're listening to Mid-Morning here on Minnesota Public Radio. I'm Melanie Summer, sitting in for Catherine Lanford this morning. We'll return to our conversation in just a couple of minutes after we check in with the latest news from Marianne Sullivan.
Thank you, Melanie. Republicans are voting today in Delaware, where George W. Bush and Steve Forbes have been campaigning. The Bush camp is hoping for a victory, saying it would ease the impact of John McCain's landslide win in New Hampshire a week ago. McCain is on the Delaware ballot, but he hasn't been stumping in the state. Instead, he's been focusing on contests in South Carolina and Michigan. Debris from Alaska Airlines Flight 261 may be spread over a wider area than previously thought. Published reports say radar has detected another object about 4 miles from where the plane plunged into the Pacific. Stocks are moving higher after some favorable economic news. The Labor Department says worker productivity soared in the fourth quarter of last year, while labor costs were down. The House Education Policy Committee takes up the controversy over the basic standards writing test today. Last month, Minnesota 10th graders had to write a composition on what they'd like to change about themselves. Many students, parents, and lawmakers complained the test was overly personal and invasive. Republican Representative Tony Kalkuski is the chief author of a bill to throw out the test results. Kalkuski says it will cost the state more than $500,000 to test all students a second time. Governor Ventura says he doesn't want his proposal for a one-house state legislature to become bogged down in politics. Ventura and key lawmakers revealed their proposal for a single 135-member body to a legislative committee last night. If legislators approve the measure, the question will go before voters next November for ratification. The tab for Governor Ventura's trade mission to Japan continues to rise. State officials originally estimated the 10-day trip would cost the state about $100,000, but the Department of Trade and Economic Development says its initial tally shows the cost at $115,000. Spokeswoman Kit Bergman says the department exceeded its estimate because of additional expenses for interpreters and distribution of news releases in Japan. A hint of spring in the southern part of the state today, where it may reach 50 degrees, a chance of snow in the northeast, partly sunny and breezy, a high of 40 for the Twin Cities. That's the latest from the newsroom. I'm Marianne Sullivan.
Listen, acronyms are everywhere. DVD, MP3, DBS, GPS, .com.
And now you can use the www to reach your faithful old three-letter pal, MPR. On Web Wednesday, February 9th, pledge your support to MPR online and enter a drawing for an iBook or a VW Bug. Go to mpr.org and click in your pledge while you listen to regular programming on the AIR. That's AIR. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
Programming on Minnesota Public Radio is supported by the College of St. Benedict, partners in liberal arts education with St. John's University.
This is Mid-Morning here on Minnesota Public Radio. It's 9:35. I'm Melanie Summer, sitting in this morning for Catherine Lanfer, and we will continue our conversation with the Commissioner of Children, Families, and Learning, Christine Jacks, about the profile of learning, whether or not it should be delayed, the full implementation of it should be delayed for another couple of years to work out the remaining kinks in the process. We will be talking after the news at 10 o'clock about a proposal that got a hearing at the legislature yesterday to give 16-year-olds the right to vote. We hope you'll stay tuned for that conversation. But right now, we're interested in hearing what you have to say about the profile of learning. Next on the line, we have Tom from St. Charles. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. I'm the superintendent of schools in St. Charles, and my feeling is that we should not delay the implementation of the profile of learning. This idea has not been tested. We are in the process of implementing it, and I think its flaws are showing up. It was a seriously flawed idea from the start. More money, more time, tweaking this, tweaking that is not going to fix it. It either is a good idea and ought to stand on its merits, being fully implemented, or we ought to abandon it. When things don't work out, it's the easy route is to say, well, we'll delay it. Let's, if it can work, make it work now. We've spent millions of dollars. We've spent hundreds of thousands of hours. It's time for it to work or to abandon it.
And what do you think should happen, Tom? Which would you support?
I would support implementation at this point. After spending many millions of dollars and hundreds of hours here in the schoolhouses trying to implement it, we need to go forward, give it 100%, and see if the idea really works. The unfortunate thing is we have run a big experiment with the 750,000 students in Minnesota. This was not an idea that was field tested, and we need to go ahead. We're too far along to backtrack at this point.
Tom, what are you doing with your PSEO students?
Our PSEO students, we plan to have those students continue and to meet the standards.
How are they meeting the standards unless the colleges are offering standards in the PSEO courses and I'm not aware they are?
Well, we have very few students who are full-time PSEO. Most of our students would be part-time.
Could you remind us what PSEO stands
for? That's post-secondary options, and that's one of the problems that districts are having. They have students who are taking the courses, and some superintendents have been telling their students that if they're taking PSEO, they don't need to meet the standard or that the standards have automatically been met. So we have some students who have been misinformed or have made choices based on confusing information. That's one of the reasons I agree totally with Tom. We need to go full forward with implementation. But if there are any mistakes like that around, I don't think that we hold the student responsible if the superintendent made a mistake.
Mm-hmm. One of the questions that keeps coming up to me is the buy-in from the teachers. I mean, the poll from the teachers' union last week that was released said fully 90% of the teachers who were polled don't support the profile as it is right now. Many of them thought that changes were necessary, but some thought it should be scrapped altogether. How will you and, you know, supporters of the profile get teacher buy-in through this delay process or however else you want to approach this? I mean, if you don't have teachers supporting it, it's not really going to work, I assume.
Well, that's exactly right. Even if all the superintendents, like Tom, say, let's go forward 100%, let's not change anything, at some point, if you don't have the teachers supporting you and helping you out, I don't know how that gets done. So I think that we have to listen to the teachers, find out what's not working, and then make some decisions around that. I think that the paperwork's been a problem. We have the software available now. I think the grading, that the fact that, for instance, you know how I said that grading has to be done based on 12th grade standards, 9th grade standards, 5th grade, and 3rd grade. Well, what that means is that in 1st and 2nd grade, the teachers don't want to have to compare 1st graders and 2nd graders to 3rd graders. One could argue that's unfair across the board, but very unfair in those early ages. So what has happened is superintendents and school boards have put all the standards in 3rd grade. So the 3rd grade teacher is responsible for delivering all of those standards, and further, that 3rd grade teacher doesn't get to pass off science to a science teacher and English to an English teacher and social studies to a social studies teacher. That 3rd grade teacher has to teach all of that. That's what we have to look at improving. So I disagree with Tom. There are some improvements that need to be made. Tom, are you still there?
I'm still there, and I agree that the improvements need to be made. But I think that we need to move forward with this. And the CFL, for example, with the post-secondary enrollment options, we need to be crystal clear about what the expectations of PSEO students are. We need to be able to take the third grade teachers and the second and the first grade teachers and show them packages and standards that are actually working, and this is how it can be done. I believe that the CFL has been very weak in terms of the technical support needed to make this go. And we've taken the attitude, local control, let a thousand flowers bloom. If it's a good idea, we need to have packages that work. We need to have models of school districts where it's being implemented correctly, rather than say simply local control, figure it out on your own, or we'll spend more money and more time and eventually we'll come to an answer. These questions don't need a two-year delay.
Well, I think that,
can I just clarify for my benefit, Tom, when you say we should move forward, what you're saying is your 10th graders should have to meet all of the profile standards before they graduate in 2 years. That's what you're saying?
Yes. Well, you can call them profile standards. I don't call them standards. They're more activities. Because students are given a rubric score, and they only have to be making satisfactory progress. So these are not really standards in the sense that the public thinks of standard. But, yes, I think they should have to do all the activities and be scored on the rubrics accordingly. And this was the plan that was conceived. We need to move forward. If we keep telling teachers and educators we're going to do something, whether it's outcome-based education or the profile of learning, and we're going to do this, you're going to need to implement it, and then we back away, pretty soon they say, with everything that is directed in their direction, this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. And we've started down a dangerous road where when we hit difficulties, we want to delay rather than do the thing we ought to do, which is roll up our sleeves and solve the problem if it can be solved.
Well, I think that, you know, I agree with him. I just don't know that I think that we need to solve these problems. And, you know, maybe another thing that we could do is instead of, if we're going to hold the students responsible, hold others responsible. You know, what I keep saying to people is, yes, I think we can move forward. But if mistakes are made, we don't close down schools. We don't recall school board members. We don't fire superintendents. And we don't withhold teacher licensures. What happens if this doesn't work is we don't give out diplomas. And I think that an accountability system that's only on the backs of students is unfair. So I think that I want to clear up one thing that, you know, Tom mentioned, activities and standards. I think that that's going back to that mistaken performance packages for standards. The standards are very clear. A standard looks like algebra. The delivery package, the how it gets done, the activities, that's a performance package. And to confuse content standards and performance packages is a real mistake.
Well, that probably partly is my terminology that I'm using, too. So I appreciate your call, Tom. Thanks very much. We have Deb on the line now from Lakeville. Good morning, Deb.
Hi, good morning.
Yes.
First of all, I would just like to comment about millions of tax dollars being spent on this program that is, quote-unquote, an experiment, which I think is a bad system, which is being used on our children. Currently, that's what's going on in the system is we're calling this high standards. We're using an 8th grade level test to test on 10th graders. I don't consider that a high standard.
Neither do
especially,
we.
Well, you know, and it's also, this is coming down from a government-appointed position that you are in to impose these education standards when it's against the 10th Amendment and the Constitution on big government getting in and implementing this type of education.
Deb, can you clarify that for me, the constitutional reference?
You know, just with the big government coming in and implementing the education.
Well,
if I'm correct, your position, you're being appointed by the governor.
Well, I don't know what constitution you're talking about, but our constitution in the United States Constitution is silent on education. The state constitution does mandate compulsory education and does mandate that the state provide education for all students. So that's what we're doing. The eighth grade test that is given in math and reading, no one considers a high standard. That is considered a basic skills test to make sure kids have the minimum. And that should not be confused with the profile of learning and the high standards.
All right. Next, we have Lisa from St. Paul. Hi, Lisa. Lisa?
Hi. No, this is Beth from St. Francis.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you go right ahead, Beth.
I am just, I got to tell you, I work in a software company, and this just sounds like another nightmare project. You know, millions of dollars spent. Nobody knows what's going on. Nobody knows if it'll work. It hasn't been field tested, and yet it's going into production. I think there has to be a moratorium on it. You can't hold these kids. I mean, I've got a 12-year-old who's going to have to deal with this, and I'm hearing that the teachers don't even understand what needs to be done, and they don't even know what to teach, and they're not even qualified to teach what needs to be taught once they're told they do. I'm just really appalled that, you know, we expect our kids to be able to pass something that we can't even, as adults, you know, thinkers, we can't even figure out ourselves. And the more I hear about it, the more confused I get on it. It varies from district to district. Well, you know, and the district is in charge of determining the money that's spent on it. How do I know my school district is spending their money on what they need to be spending it on and not on, you know, teacher salaries or books or other things that are necessary also? I think this is just a terrible reflection of the entire public school system. And I think it's crumbling around its knees, and you're fighting to save something that doesn't work. I'm slightly familiar with the Montessori teaching program, and I keep waiting to hear teachers bring up things that reflect that, you know, teaching children according to their, you know, their level of where they're at rather than their age. And, you know, we've got eighth graders, seniors taking eighth grade tests. And, I mean, this is just such a mess.
Well, I think that it has.
I'm really frustrated.
Yeah, I can hear that, and I can hear you have younger ones still coming up into the school system. I think that it appears to be more confusing and more chaotic than it really is. I think we have to stop and figure out what's working and what's not working, but by stopping and looking at things and making things work, that doesn't mean that we halt the implementation. We need to go forward on what is working and what's working well. And when a person looks at the content standards, when I show it to parents or I show it to teachers, they say, oh, yeah, that is what I want my student to know. That is important. The local control can be problematic at times, and I think adds to the confusion, but I think it's really an important thing we have in our state, because what that means is that Beth can go forward to her local district and have more of a voice. She would have less of a voice at the state level because she doesn't have as much access to as many legislators as there are as she would to her local school board members. And it's more true to what's going on in the neighborhood if the school district can make the decision as to what is needed in that school district. So, yes, it varies in the 345 different districts, but I think that's important because that's the best way to make sure Beth and her family's needs are met.
Although, Tom, the superintendent from St. Charles, and then the other caller, Deb, they've all alluded to the fact that this is a statewide proposal here, a statewide plan that you have implemented. But the local school districts are being told to implement it when they perhaps are not ready to do so. They don't have the training. They don't have the background and the knowledge to do it. And so some of them are sort of flailing about. It's a fine line that you walk, I know, because a lot of people want that local control. But it also seems apparent that the state needs to provide as much support and guidance as possible. Do you think that you've got that balance right now?
Well, we're trying real hard. We don't have a lot of people who work for the state. We have a very small budget ourselves for our agency, and we're working really hard to get out there and help where we can, but we're slim. I think that if you talk to the superintendents and the school board members, you'd find that there's a lot of support for moving forward, and they would say that things are working well and to just keep going. As Tom said, where we're hearing the disconnect is from the teachers. The teachers are saying, no, we're still having trouble. So I think what we're trying to do is say, you know, districts, figure out why you're not on the same sheet as your teachers, and we're going to give you the support, and let's figure out what's going on. In the meantime, until you have it worked out, let's keep making the students do the profile and do the content standards, but if something slips through the cracks, let's not deprive a student of a diploma.
All right. Next is Ruth from Excelsior. Good morning, Ruth.
Yes, I'm a homeschool student, and I recently received a letter from my district that said that if I don't enroll my son in ninth grade, that he would not be able to graduate, basically because he would not be able to complete the many standards that he has to complete. And it, for me, I don't really care because I plan to do a homeschool program for him from high school using the PSEO option and selected high school courses. But I'm wondering about students who move from another district or another state, like let's say in 10th grade or in 11th grade, are they not going to be able to be allowed to graduate?
There is a provision in the rule for a waiver that districts can waive a particular standard if a student has not had the opportunity to take that standard previously or if they have already taken a more rigorous course. So that's what would probably happen in those situations. But districts do not have district personnel and teachers have told me that they still are struggling with exactly what to do, and more so with students who are moving around within Minnesota, moving from one district to another district. If one standard is placed in 9th grade in one district and 10th grade in another district, then what should the district do? And that's part of what they're trying to work out. That doesn't mean they're not going forward. It doesn't mean that they need to delay what they're doing. It just means that there might be some students who don't get a standard completed because something happened along the way in a move. Those are the kinds of students that we want to make sure that we have some relief for and why it shouldn't come between them and a diploma.
And what about homeschooled children, as Ruth was talking about her child that she homeschools?
Homeschooled children, if they don't want a diploma, then they do not have to meet the requirements of the profile. But if they want a diploma, if they basically want to go forward and say, I got a diploma from a Minnesota public school, then they have to meet the requirements of the Minnesota public school system.
So that they would need to work on the performance packages and the standards through their homeschooling.
And they need to do that through their districts. Diplomas are given by the individual districts, but it's a statewide system, and if you want a diploma from the statewide system, you need to meet those goals. But it is possible for a homeschooled student to not get a diploma. There are people who don't get a high school diploma and still go on to college and other secondary options.
I see. Next, we have Mike from St. Paul. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. My question is about kind of tying this in with the basic skills test. I just read that 5,000 to 6,000 students are struggling to, you know, are in danger of not graduating because of the basic skills test, and yet they don't seem to have any trouble with the so-called high standards. Really, I think Tom had it right when he talked about the fact that it was really just activities. In fact, the Fordham Foundation said that that's basically all that's required to pass the profile is mere participation or a one on the rubric. So I'm trying to figure out why the moratorium is on the profile and not on the basic skills standard, since we don't seem to be able to teach our kids any knowledge-based curriculum anymore.
Well, we are teaching kids knowledge-based curriculum, and 5,000 statewide, I don't know that that's a bigger number than we usually have not completing school. When I talk to students and teachers about who aren't going to pass the basic skills test or haven't passed the basic skills test, they also don't have enough credits to complete. Many of these students are non-English speaking students, and also many of them are special education students. So Minnesota does a good job of getting basic skills information out there and helping the students with basic skills. But if kids are not attending school or have special education needs or other problems, it's going to take more work. That doesn't mean that we lower the standard or have a moratorium. The diploma has to mean something at the very minimum. And we've had the basic skills test for a while. As for the Fordham Foundation, what they really seem to support is statewide curriculum. And I don't think that even though people will take the Fordham Foundation to criticize what we're doing, I don't think that they would want us to win over the Fordham Foundation because that would be statewide curriculum. And I don't hear anyone clamoring for that.
Let's again, a point of clarification. The basic skills test is a different but sort of complementary requirement that students have to graduate.
Well, there are two types of graduation standards. One, the basic skills test, reading and math in 8th grade and writing in 10th grade, and then the profile of learning, which is the higher standards. And there are 24 standards that have to be met in high school. I have to say, though, that Mike stated as a premise something that I don't know that he could support, and that is that even though students can't pass the basic skills test, they are passing performances and content standards. I don't know that anyone knows that to be true or not to be true. I don't know that there's been any research on that.
All right. Our next caller is Eric from Mound. Good morning, Eric.
Hi. Say, I was just wondering if, I mean, to me, just listening to Christine go on and have all these 8 million different questions belies the whole point that the entire thing should be scrapped and we should not throw any more money down this rat hole and including any more children's futures down this rat hole. It is just, it's so confusing what, you know, the basic skills from the profiles of learning, the performance packets, the school to work, you know, how is it all intermixed? Nobody can figure it out, and you're just you're denying that whole, I mean, by the way you keep going on, just, it's silly.
Thanks for your call, Eric. Have we gotten to the point where we just, you know, I have to say that when we talk about the profile of learning around here, some of us still use the terms incomprehensible and, you know, just so difficult to understand. And, you know, how is it that this will ever work if it's just so complicated that people just can't get through it?
Well, I guess we have to figure out what's complicated to people and what isn't. And, you know, if people start bringing in things like school to work and start adding other things to it, well, that is going to be complicated. And you know, if people start seeing that the federal government is involved and start pulling in more and more things, that does complicate it erroneously. I think that any time that we're changing something, it's going to be complicated as we have to get the information out. But I think that it's also true that pedagogy and educational reform and education does have an element of to it that not everyone is going to understand. I like technology. I support technology. I use my computer, but I can't explain how it works. I can't explain how email works. I can't explain how people make home pages and set up the web. That doesn't mean that it's a rat hole, and it doesn't mean that it should be thrown out, and it doesn't mean that I'm dumber. It has to be changed. It just means that not everything can be understood by everybody. What we have to do is have it communicated clearly, and I think that's where we have failed. We have to make sure that what is pedagogy and understood by experts can be clearly explained to people. But I don't know if everyone's going to understand all the intricacies. That's why we do have experts, and that's why we have teachers. You know, not anyone can just go become a teacher. You have to have some expertise, and that expertise really does have a more sophisticated knowledge.
All right. Our next caller is Joan, who is on the line with us. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning.
I'm sorry, I don't know where you're calling from.
Minneapolis.
Thank you.
First of all, I want to tell Christine, I followed this closely. I think you're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, and I think it's really tough, and you are very patient. I have a fourth grader. She's in a Catholic school in Minneapolis, progressive, and I want to say I'm totally in favor of the performance packages, and you should take as long as you need to take to implement them. So I think the moratorium is fine. And I had to give a talk recently about what I like about her school. And what I said was, they do basics, they drill on basics a lot, and then they do very creative things after they drill on basics. Her eighth graders at her school pass at about 95% of them pass at an average of 91% is their score. So they do very well on the basic test. But what they do, I think, already are performance packages. Mm-hmm. And she took one to school today. It's a fourth grade package. She spent 2 weeks on it. It was researching her ancestors, developing a timeline, putting in some old pictures. It required her to do a little bit of research, interviewing, writing, creating a timeline, doing some graphing. And I think it's terrific. And I'm assuming from what I've heard that this is the kind of thing that you do in a performance package.
It is the kind of thing we do, and I appreciate your comments. You know, I grew up in Bloomington and went to the Bloomington schools, and what I've said, and it does seem to be true about Bloomington, is that it doesn't seem to me that they'd have to change very much, because when I look back at what I learned 20, 30 years ago, they looked like performance packages. And I think that good teaching has always been good teaching, and one of the things we might have done to confuse the matter is changing terms. If we had said curriculum packages with assessment woven in, that might have been more understandable than having called them performance packages.
Commissioner Jacks, I'm afraid we're out of time. Thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you.
Christine Jacks is the Commissioner of the Department of Children, Families, and Learning. We would like to remind you that we are continuing our series called Guinea Pig Kids. Coming up this afternoon on All Things Considered, we will hear a report on thousands of Minnesota high school seniors who are in danger of not getting their diplomas because they've repeatedly failed the basic standards test for reading and math. So we hope you'll tune in for that this afternoon during All Things Considered at 5:50. For a complete look at NPR's reporting on the graduation standards, you can click on our website, npr.org, and go to Guinea Pig Kids. And you can also take the test. Try to answer some of the sample questions from the basic skills, math, and reading test on our website and join in a discussion on the website about what you think of the new standards. Again, that's at npr.org.
Make your plans now to attend the Sound Money Personal Finance Fair presented by Minnesota Public Radio and StockWalk.com on February 11th.